Well, last week we started this chapter 4, and you'll remember when I said that chapter 4 is kind of like this barrage of miracles, miracle after miracle after miracle. We looked at the first one last Lord's Day morning, and remember what happened here. You had this woman, verse 1, it said that she cried. Verse 1, here's a woman, she's crying, she's broken. Why? Because her husband is dead, she's in great debt, and someone is now coming to take her sons captive. Not only that, but she has absolutely nothing in the home save a pot of oil, a vessel of oil, and that symbol, if you like, of her poverty was the very thing that God took and blessed. She said, I'm poor, all I have is one vessel of oil. The Lord says, that's good enough, give it to me. I'll take it, I'll use it. And even there's a wee illustration about service. We might not, in our own estimation, have very much to give to the Lord, or at least so we would see it in ourselves. We might only have 2 little fishes and 5 loaves of bread. But I tell you, little is much when God is in it. You know that. We know that truth. Yet how foolish we are. We get discouraged. I can't do very much. I'm not very able. So on and so forth. Yet we know that the Lord can take the least that we give him and use it for his glory. Verse 8 is where miracle number 2 begins. And just to make it clear from the beginning, this woman conceives and she brings forth a son. And that was incredibly unlikely in the circumstances in which she found herself. Indeed, it was not going to happen except by a miracle. And here's a woman, and here's our theme this morning. The Lord rewarded her faithfulness. The Lord was pleased to reward her service. Let's just see where we are now. Verse 8. And it fell on the day that Elisha passed by Shunem. Now, Shunem, just to give you a little bit of an idea, it is southwest of Galilee. So if you can, it's not really, but if you can imagine the land of Israel in a rectangular shape, okay, a rectangular shape, at the very top end or near the top would be Galilee, all right? That's where the Lord did many of his miracles. Well, if you're 15 miles just southwest of that, you will find Elisha here in this place called Shunem. And while he's there, let me just show you what happens. Note very carefully what the Bible says. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. You, as far as I know, and as far as I can find, you will not read anywhere in the Bible that phrase again. A great woman. She's the only woman in this book that has that title, and that is highly significant. Here's a woman who was different from all the rest. And why was that? Well, we're going to this morning certainly look at this woman, all that she did, and we're thinking of it in these terms. God, because we're thinking here not so much about a woman, not so much about Elisha, but Jehovah above. And here's the lesson in this miracle. The Lord really does reward our faithfulness. The Lord does reward our service. And this passage is here as a little encouragement for you and me. Because sometimes we do serve the Lord. We seek to do what we can to fulfill the will of God on earth. And maybe sometimes we feel there's little encouragement. Well, that's why this passage is here. The Lord does reward our faithfulness. The Lord does reward our service. Firstly, I want you to see this morning the willing servant. A willing servant. Of course, the willing servant is this great woman, as God himself calls her. What's so great about her? What's so magnificent about her service? Well, I want you to see her willing eyes. She's got willing eyes, and she's got willing hands, as we'll see in a moment or two. She also has a willing heart. But first, I want you to see her willing eyes. Verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat. Now let's just pause there. She constrained him. And what that means is she saw with her eyes a need. She saw there was a lacking here. And she was the one who went out to do something about it. Nobody asked this woman to do anything. Nobody approached her. Elisha didn't send messengers and say to this woman, you know, can you take what you have and help us in the work of God? No, she just saw a need and there was no question about it. Let's do something about it. And I think that's extraordinary. She wanted to do something for the Lord, and that's an excellent quality. Indeed, even in the realm of secular employment, isn't that true? You know, I grew up in the building trade. My family were involved in construction. I went into the building trade as well. And you learn that there's nothing worse than when you're on a building site or any job, if there's someone there and they have to be told everything every single time. You need someone who's got an eye to see what has to be done and they just go and do it, all right? That's a good employee. That's a good servant who wants to do as much as he can. He doesn't have to be told, he just goes and does it. And that's what this woman is doing. She's serving her master. She's serving her, I'm not going to call God an employer because he's not. He's a king. He's a master. And she is serving her Lord well, doing what must be done without being asked. Now you have to ask the question, why had she such a keen eye for the work of God? Why did she not have to be asked? I think it's because of her gratitude. You see, if someone is full of gratitude, if there's someone who has done you a good turn, all right, they've done you a good turn, and you really appreciate what they did, as soon as you see that person with a need, you will want to do something. Gratitude always produces that sense of indebtedness. You're thankful for that person and what they've done. You feel indebted to them, and gratitude followed by indebtedness always leads to industry. You'll want to do something. You'll want to help. You'll want to respond. You'll want to reciprocate, if you like, the favor. So she uses her talents for the advancement of God's kingdom. Now look at her. It says she's a great woman. She is not a prophet. She is not a prophet. She was married to a husband. She had a house. So what is she going to do to serve her master? Well, I'm making the point here. She's not a prophet. So she takes whatever she does have. And she provides. She's not a prophet. She's a provider. She takes what she has, her abilities, her eyes, her hands, we'll see in a minute, and so on. She does what she can to make sure the gospel, or rather the work of God, has as little hindrances as possible. Effectively, what she's doing is she's building a highway for the advancement of the gospel. She is advancing the work of God by paving a motorway so that Elisha can get on with the work without hindrance. And that's how we serve God. Of course, her service is very different from person to person. But she looks to see where she could fit in into the advancement of God's kingdom. And this is where she fitted in. She found it because she was looking for it. That's important. She was looking and she found. Her eyes were constantly searching for ways to serve God. Let's just be honest this morning. We're all fallen creatures, aren't we? We're sinners. And more often than not, we're more tempted to close our eyes to needs. Because it's convenient just to think about our own needs, our own comforts, and what we need, and just not be all that concerned about everybody else. Like, for example, take your prayer life. How much of your prayer life is about somebody else, and how much is about you? But sometimes very telling. We tend to close our eyes to others and just think about ourselves. Not true of the Shunammite woman. Not true at all. She had willing eyes just to do what had to be done without being asked. She saw a need, so she met the need. That takes us to a second thought here. She had willing hands. Willing hands to reach out. Because read verse 8 again. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him. Okay, he didn't ask her, she asked him. In fact, she constrained him. to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. As oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Here's a woman, not only did she see the need and just constrain him, that she wanted to be the one who would do the work here, but she continued to do it. All right? This wasn't a one-off offer. This wasn't, you know, Elisha, come in for supper and we'll get you on your way home. No, she took every opportunity that came her way, because he came again and again and again. As oft as he passed by, he went there and she provided the need. You see, this wasn't just a good intention. This was constant action. That's the difference. It's easy to have good intentions. We might intend on doing something in years down the line. I would like to do that next year. I would like to do that sometime in my life. This woman wasn't so interested in good intents. She was interested in consistent activity. She saw a need with her eyes. Her hands went to the work. God gave this woman hands, and she was going to use them well. This would have cost her. I mean, when Elisha came to the home, she would literally have to have put her hands into her oil, into her flour to make food, and so on and so forth. It literally cost them to serve. Service is not always free. It is never free. You can never serve the Lord and do it for free, because it will either cost you your time, and there's nothing more precious in regards to what we possess aside from salvation. Nothing more important to us maybe than time. Time you can't recuperate. You know, sometimes my wife, she's only lived in Ballymena about a year or so, but she's more Ballymena than some other people are in regards to being tight with the money. And she might spend a lot of time going from shop to shop trying to find what's cheapest and what's best. Sometimes I think, well, I would rather just buy the thing, because my time is a lot more precious to me. If I'm going to walk down the street to save 10p, I would rather have 10 minutes of my life than another 10p saved, because my life is so, so precious. I can't get it back, okay? Every minute that goes by, it's gone. That's it. I don't mean just be silly with your money. Of course not. Be frugal with what you have, but be sensible with all that you have, not just your finances, but also your time, your life. Passes by quickly. This woman, it cost her to serve God. Cost her her food. It cost her her time. It cost her her conveniences. But here's the thing. Sometimes you and I, maybe getting down the road, we've served the Lord for years, and we begin to entertain the idea, you know what, my hands are getting tired serving. My hands are getting weary. I've been working and working and working. My hands are getting tired. I don't see that in this woman at all. Rather, she seeks to keep going on and going on. Why is that? Because I think this woman understood something about her God. And you and I, we know something about Christ, that his hands were pierced for my good. So surely, can my hands ever become too tired in serving him whose hands were pierced for my salvation? This woman had a willing eye to see opportunities. She had willing hands to reach out and meet the need. But also she had a willing heart. I want you to see her heart right now. Go to verse 9. And she said, all right, and remember, what comes out of your mouth always indicates what is in your heart. All right? What's in your heart is always conveyed through your lips. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. So this is her in her home with her husband. Verse 10, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And that not only amuses me, but really puts a smile on my face. And let me tell you why. Just get what she's saying. Let's build an extension to her house for this man.
Let's go the extra mile here, okay? She's still looking for more that she can do for her God. Yes, she's feeding him. She's bringing him in. This is tremendous hospitality. But she wants to go one step further. Let's build a little house for him. And it wouldn't have just been for Elisha. It would also have been for Gehazi, his servant that was with him. She's going the extra mile. She could have said, maybe we should all share the load. I'll feed him. I'll give him a supper. But somebody else should give him a bed. I can't do everything. I can't be expected to bear the whole burden here. I think this is why she's called a great woman. She's not interested in sharing. She's interested in serving. And that's so essential, men and women. She wants to do as much as she possibly can. That does make me laugh. She goes to her husband, let's build him a house. Let's build a wee extension at the side of our house, and it'll be a little house for him. He can sleep there. He can stay there. Let's even furnish it for him. Let's give him all that he needs. Men and women, credit where credit is due. She deserves credit here. Maybe you're here today, and you've done something like this. You've served, obviously not a prophet, but somebody. A child of God or an unconverted, you've done something. Again, credit to you. Good for you for doing so. Men and women, it's good to have willing eyes, willing hands, and a willing heart. Can I just turn this right around now? Because maybe you're here today and you're thinking, well, it's all right for her. She had a husband. And, you know, she had a house, her own house. And she had money. And she had food. She had means, and she obviously was well off. I'm not well off. Maybe I'm not healthy enough. She had her health as well. That's all right for her. She had all those things. Well, that's right. She had those things because God had a specific job for her to do. She had the health. She had the wealth. She had all of these things because God had a job for her to do, and he equipped her to do it. Now, you might not have these things, but God will have given you something else. You will have something else that's for you to use for God. So whatever God has given you, be faithful for it. We're not all called to a B&B service for prophets. If we were called to be a B&B function for prophets, we wouldn't have anybody in our B&Bs because you don't have anybody today. So that's important. Everybody, men and women, is given something, your life, whatever it is, use it faithfully for God. Let's go to a verse of scripture just to nail this point home. Matthew 10. Because if you're sitting here thinking just now, well, what do I have that I can give for the service of God? Matthew 10:42. You don't get any more basic than this. Matthew 10, Christ speaking, verse 42. And whosoever... Well, let's go back to verse 41, because actually, verse 41 is very appropriate for what we've just read, actually. We'll go back even further. Verse 40, all right, verse 40. Matthew 10:40. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Now that's exactly what that Shunammite woman did. Now, for us today, verse 42. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Does anybody here have a cup of water this morning? The Lord says, there you are. You've something to use for the Lord. And that's put in the simplest of terms and the most basic of service to make the point everyone has something to give to the service of God. So,
Firstly, this morning, we have seen a willing servant. Let me just secondly, and it's the final thing I have for you this morning, but let me show you a willing God. Go back to our passage, please, there in 2 Kings 4. We thought about this willing Shunammite woman, but I want to show you that we have a more willing God. You see, once all this has happened, Elisha has now entered into this dwelling house and he's sat there and slept there and so on and so forth. And well, he's appreciative of everything this woman has done for him. And I'm convinced here the Lord does something in Elisha. He makes Elisha willing. God is willing to bless this woman. But remember, Elisha is God's servant. So think on it firstly like this. God gave Elisha a desire. God put a desire into Elisha's heart to do something for this woman. He is moved by the Lord. And I know it's God who moved Elisha because what Elisha said happened. So if you'll go with me here to verse 11. And it fell on a day that he, that's Elisha, came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And so at some point while they're lying there or in the house, he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, I'll explain that in a minute or two. He said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? So Elisha essentially makes the woman clear that he wants to do something for her because, you know, she's been very good to him. The Lord has moved the heart of Elisha here. He feels the compulsion to just step up and to go and do something for this woman. And I want you just to pause there for a little minute because we have a willing God who gives us desires at times to do something for other people. If you ever just sense in your own heart and soul, here's something that I should do, just you go and do it. If it's not disobedient to the Lord, obviously it's not from God if it is. But if the Lord puts something in your heart, go and do it. Be sensitive. Be sensitive to the leading of God in these issues. Pray every day, Lord, lead me. If there's something you'd have me to do, make it clear to me. I can't help but think in that story that's told by Duncan Campbell, and you all know who Duncan Campbell was, and that occasion where there was a woman, and it was something like, I can't remember exactly, but I think it was about midnight. I think so anyway. Or was it? I can't remember. Whatever time of day it was anyway. It was a bit random, but she just felt this compulsion to pray for Duncan Campbell. And she, whatever she was doing, whether she was lying down or sitting, I think she was actually lying, sleeping actually. She got up anyway out of her bed and she began to pray. And she prayed for a minute or two and then just stopped. And she felt that was it. And it must have been about 3 or 4 months later, Duncan Campbell and her met. And she said, you know, Mr. Campbell, I really felt burden to pray for you. And she named the day, the date of the day, and the very time that she prayed. And Duncan Campbell turned around and said, at that very moment, I was in his moped or a bike or something, and he says, a car hit me from the back at that very moment. And he said, I was thrown up into the air and I landed down on a little bit comic, but a grassy verge that was nice and soft. And he said it was a nice soft landing and I wasn't hurt at all. At the very moment she was praying. And the interpretation from that was this, that there was a man serving God, for he was literally in the midst of the revival. And if he would have hurt himself, he couldn't have preached. He couldn't have went on to serve God. The Lord put in that woman's heart, you pray for him because I answer prayer. And that always encouraged him. And how the Lord put it upon her heart to do something for him. And the Lord, of course, answered prayer. You see, the Lord gave Elisha here a desire to do something for this woman. The Lord moves our hearts from time to time because he's willing.
he's willing to bless. Furthermore, he gave Gehazi wisdom here. Now, I want to explain this verse 13 to you. Verse 12 just said that, you know, Gehazi, go to the Shunammite woman and tell her to come. And you would expect verse 13 to read like this. Go to verse 13. And he said unto her, but it says he said unto him. Now remember here, we're not in a multi-story building. We're in a lean-to on the side of her house, one room. And Elisha says to Gehazi, go and call the woman. And you tell her, Gehazi, you tell her, or you ask her rather, what can be done for you? And you have to ask the question, well, what's kind of going on there? Why did Elisha not do it himself? There's several potential reasons, but when you go into the New Testament, there's a very important verse there in 1 Corinthians 4, I think it is, and it says there about the woman should ask her husband. If the woman is to learn something, she should ask her husband. And that was Paul writing that. Why would Paul not have said, if there's a woman, she wants to learn something, come and ask me? Well, there's a reason for that. Remember, this Shunammite woman was married. We learned that. She had a husband. This is important. It's not because the Lord puts women in a lower class and men above it. You don't find that here. Men and women are different, all right? Different. And the Lord says to the woman, if you want to learn something, learn from your husband. Don't go to somebody else. Ask your husband. And there's protection there for the woman. Because if she's learning something, she shouldn't be going to somebody else and then coming back and telling her husband. The husband is the head of the house. That's how God said it to be. And so learn from your husband. If there's something you want to know, don't go to someone else. I have given you a man. I have given you your husband. You ask him. And that man should have enough wisdom, and if not, the wife can counsel him, that he should go and find out or go and ask or do something, but deal with the problem. Because if a woman's continually going to, let's say, Elisha or somebody of that day or Paul the Apostle or whoever, she becomes more dependent on that teacher rather than her husband whom God has given to her. That's very important. If there's not a husband, there may be a father. If there's not a father, therefore there has to be a change. She needs counsel. And so that's partly why it's there. You see Elisha here conforming rightly to the decorum of his day. He's getting a servant to go and do this, and unquestionably the husband would have been involved here. But anyway, verse 13. Gehazi goes and speaks to the woman on behalf of Elisha. And verse 14, she has said there's nothing that she needs. Verse 14, and he said, that's Elisha said unto Gehazi, and he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And so that makes it clear that not only was Gehazi familiar with the wife, he was also in consultation with the husband because he knew what age her husband was. It's a family scene here. But I want to make the point, Elisha didn't even know, it appears, that they were childless. And that's very important. He's been certainly blessed by this home, but he knows his place. There's a very strict decorum here, and credit to that whole situation. But God gave wisdom to Gehazi in the midst of this situation to direct Elisha well. And Elisha was wise enough to take the wisdom of Gehazi, because no servant of God is a dictator and knows all things. But the Lord worked in Elisha with the desire. The Lord worked in Gehazi with wisdom. And now I want you to see how the Lord worked in this woman's heart. Because you'll come here to verse 13. We've read part of it. Let's read it now. Verse 13. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? The sense that we have here is Elisha handing a blank check to Gehazi and says, give that to the woman, whatever she wants, tell her to write it down in the check. What would you do? Your response to that question is always very telling about your heart. Let's see what she did. Let's see what this great woman did.
Verse 13. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I will dwell among mine own people. And she's offering, or he's offering her promotion, if you like. Do you want me to give you a ticket, as it were, to wherever you want to go? I can speak to you for the king, and the king can give you better ground or better land, or the host, or the centurion, the host, the guard can take care of you. And she simply replies back by saying, No, it's fine. I have all that I want. I want you to think about that. This woman was given to hospitality. She was given to respectability. She was also given to contentment. She was content with what the Lord had already given her. She asked for no more. I'm going to tell you a story. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's told of a king, a very wealthy king. So wealthy that he had everything that anybody in the kingdom could possibly wish for. He wanted for nothing. Well, it was wonderful foods, colorful clothing, servants, houses, horses, whatever it was, he could have it. But he was plagued with something. He was plagued with discontentment. He always wanted more. And we'd found everything, still he was miserable. And so he called one of his wise men in, and the wise man gave him some advice. And at first hearing, it's a little bit strange, but it was wise indeed. He said to the king, if you want to deal with your discontentment, let me tell you what you should do. Go to the most content man in your kingdom. Search and find the most content man in your kingdom and take the clothes on his back and wear them, and you will become content. And the king straight away was delighted at the simplicity of this task. And so he sent his servants out, go and search for the most content man in the land. And his servants come back some time later and they said, we have found the most content man in the land. And the king said, well, give me the clothes from his back and let me wear them. And the servants said, we're sorry, he doesn't have any clothes. And the king was miffed by that. And the point was made clear. Contentment. Contentment is not the possession of those who have the most. It's those who need the least. When you get that, contentment is never, ever, 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 ever found with those who can get the most. It's always found with those who need the least. And you can look and listen. We always say it, my generation and the generation that have gone before me. We look at kids today, they have so much stuff. They have everything possible, and yet they're still discontent, like that king. Yet you go over to a foreign country and you have a few children who are running around with virtually nothing, and they're happy if you give them a stick and a tire. Content. Because they need the least. That's a simple rule of life. But I will say this, quoting from the Apostle Paul in Philippians, where he said, I have learned to be content. The Apostle Paul said, whether I'm a beast, whether I'm a bound, whatever way I am, I have learnt therein to be content, because contentment does not come naturally to the fallen man. It must be learnt. And this woman had learnt it. She got it. Even though she did have many possessions, she still learnt contentment, because you can be rich and be content. You can be poor and be content. You're satisfied simply with what you have. And so I love her response here. But nevertheless, the Lord gave this woman a gift. And here's where the miracle comes, and with this we'll close. But let me show you the miracle. Verse 16. And he said, so this woman now has been told, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. Now, that should really strike you, because she never even asked for a son. She could have said to Elisha, give me a son. I would long for a son.
She didn't have any children, no sons at all. That's a big deal in that day, a big deal.
She never thought about asking because she was happy with that. If that was God's will, she was happy with that. Micah, will you go to your mother, please? Immediately. Thank you, son. He says here to this woman, listen, about this very season next year, you will embrace a son. You will have your own son. And what's her response to that? Verse 16, at the end of it there, she says, nay, no. And she calls him my Lord. Thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. She's overwhelmed by that. She's overwhelmed by this. It's so good, it's so big, that she's terrified of believing it. That goes to show that although there was something very heavy upon her heart, something she would love, she wouldn't dare ask for it. She was happy with what God had planned for her. But verse 17, and the word of God deals with this in a lovely way, because she just said, don't lie to me. And you don't hear anything for 9 months, not a squeak from this woman, as far as scripture goes. And then verse 17, and the woman conceived 9 months later and bare a son. At that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to time of life. And there's the gift. Now why? Why did God give this gift to her? You see, this woman now joins the ranks of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Samson's mother, Hannah, Elizabeth, Mary, all these women who should not have had children, but they did have children. God gave them sons. But you see that list I just gave you there? Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Samson's mother, Hannah, Mary, Elizabeth. Each of those women were given children for specific reasons. Number one, it was either because of the line of Christ. Okay, so Jacob had to have a son. Isaac had to have a son. Sarah had to have a son. That had to go on. Mary had to have a son because that was necessary for the line of Christ. For Christ to come, it was redemptive history. There had to be all those women with children, and they did have children. So they had children because of God's redemptive plan. But you take likes of Elizabeth or Samson's mother. They weren't in the messianic line, but they were great leaders. They were used by God. Okay, you have Samuel, you have Samson. These men used mightily of the Lord. But you see this woman, her child, we don't even know his name. The Lord didn't bless this woman because of some redemptive purpose. It wasn't necessary for the coming of Christ. The Lord just blessed this woman because he delighted in giving her a gift. And that's my God. Sometimes he is pleased simply to reward service. He is just pleased to do good things. And can I put it this way? A child this way? It seems the Lord just wanted to see her happy. That's where this text leaves us. He wanted to make this woman happy. And that's my God. And that's why this passage is here. She served the Lord well. And the Lord wanted to make her happy by rewarding her for what she had done. She did well beyond what was expected of her. She excelled indeed. And maybe you will let me take you to one verse and we'll read it and close. It's 1 Timothy. Because 1 Timothy chapter 6 and the verse 17 teaches that very truth. Sometimes the Lord just gives because he's a God who appears to like giving. He's a heavenly and a good father. 1 Timothy 6 and 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. The living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. He gives us things simply to enjoy them. That, men and women, is the God we serve. So why would you not serve him well? Why would you not give him your all? May your eyes, may all our eyes be willing, may our hands be willing, and may our hearts be willing to serve God as best we possibly can with all that we have. Let's just take our hymn books.